Heavenly Father, you've called us here together to gather to worship you, to pray together. And I believe, Holy Spirit, you are asking a question of each of us at this time of year through this song. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Our hearts, Lord, are so filled with worry and stress at this time of year, wondering, are we ever going to get everything done? Lord, forgive us for taking when we take our focus off you. And Lord, I just pray today for each one of us and for any who are here today. And Lord, you're pinpointing someone, I believe, here today and asking them, is there room in your heart for me? Help me now and help us as we just turn for a few minutes to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, here we are again, just a few days before Christmas. And normally it's around the beginning of December I ask this question, has everyone done their Christmas shopping yet? So I'm going to ask, how many have finished your Christmas shopping? You've gone through the malls. Oh, God bless you. There's going to be a medal for you in the judgment day. God's got something special for you. Sue and I and Michael, we did our shopping yesterday, and I am glad to say it is finished. Done. Complete. We don't have to go through that thing again for another 365 days. And I want us to know and go on record that I completed my Christmas shopping before Christmas Eve. Yeah, yes, you go ahead and clap. I'm not humble. I mean, I'm humble anyway. You know what I mean. Every year during this Christmas season, we work so hard in our homes and in our families, in our church, to have that one perfect Christmas. You know what I mean. The perfect decorations, the perfect meals, the perfect family times, the perfect Christmas concerts and Christmas services. We are all looking to have that perfect moment. However, not everything goes as planned, does it? There's burnt turkey, lost presents, unappreciated gifts, and of course that unexpected relative that just shows up and throws a kilter into everything. Life happens. An unexpected illness. An unexpected letter with news that changes your future plans. We all desire to have the perfect Christmas, but let's be honest, not every Christmas is perfect. In fact, if you go back 2,000 years ago and just simply read the Gospels, you discover quite quickly that that first Christmas also was not a perfect Christmas. In fact, it was a very imperfect Christmas. Consider, first of all, Mary. Here's this young teenage girl who has her whole life ahead of her. And she is betrothed or engaged to Nazareth's number one most eligible bachelor, Joseph. He is handsome. He's a hard worker. He loves God. Nothing could be more perfect until one day she's minding her own business. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. The Lord is greatly," and Mary was greatly troubled at his words. Now that's the understatement of the millennium. And she wondered what this greeting should be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." One moment, she's dreaming about her wedding day. Maybe she is planning out what her wedding dress is going to look like. She's writing cards and invitations to the most perfect day of her life, marrying the perfect husband that she could ever marry. She has lived her life perfectly. She's a virgin. She's pure. She loves God. And then an angel appears with the words, "Guess what, Mary? In 9 months, you're going to be a mommy. And you're going to give birth not just to a baby, but you're going to give birth to the Messiah." Can you hear the wheels turning in her head, wondering, what on earth are you talking about? First of all, you're an angel. I'm human. I'm a young girl. You can wipe me out in a second. What are you saying to me? And how can this happen? I've never been with a man in my life. I am pure. I am virtuous. I love God. I could never dishonor Joseph. What do you mean? She doesn't understand. But all of a sudden, her perfect plan, her perfect life, her perfect Christmas is now drastically imperfect. Then consider Moses, not Joseph, going a little bit too far in my history. Consider Joseph. He was probably a number of years older than Mary. Mary was probably about 15, 16 perhaps. And Joseph probably was in his mid to late 20s. When Mary's parents knocked on his door and said, "We have been observing you and we would like to bestow on you the honor of being betrothed to our daughter Mary and taking her." And he knows Mary. Mary is beautiful. She's young. She's virtuous. She's full of life. And she loves God with all of her heart. It's perfect. It's perfect. Yes. So he agrees. And he begins the process, the year-long process, waiting for the official day of their wedding, even though they are legally considered husband and wife, except in that way which produces children. But he's busy. He's building a house that's going to house he and Mary and their eventual large family. And I can imagine the dreams going through his mind as he's putting wood on wood and hammering and nailing and putting brick on brick. And he's thinking to himself, man, it's going to be wonderful. Mary is so beautiful. Mary is so great. Mary is so precious. Mary loves God. We're going to have a great life together. It is perfect. And then a note comes to him, "Joseph, you need to hear this. Mary's been away visiting her cousin in Jerusalem, her cousin Elizabeth, and she just got home. Joseph, you got to come." And so he leaves his work and he goes to Mary's house. And there are the family surrounding Mary, and he is so thrilled and excited. He hasn't seen her in about 6 months, and he can't wait to hug her. And she stands up. Mary looks a whole lot different than she did 6 months previous. She's pregnant. And he knows he's not the dad. In fact, everyone in Nazareth knows he's not the dad. At that very moment, his life, his perfect life, his perfect future becomes very imperfect. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us, but I can't imagine how Mary's parents felt. They had lived and worked, I'm sure, all of their lives hard and faithfully. They were faithful parents, I am sure, who loved God. And they were looking forward to a perfect life together as husband and wife. And eventually they were going to give their daughter, their perfect daughter, to a perfect husband to live a perfect life. just imagine for me for a moment as Mary comes into the home that night. She has just spoken to the angel. And remember, she's 15, 16 years old. How many remember what 15 and 16-year-old girls are like? They can't keep a secret to save their lives. And I can only imagine the joy mixed with confusion and anticipation filling her heart as she skips into the house and she sits down with the parents on the floor and they are all cross. They say the blessing and Dad asks the question, so what new happened today? And Mary blurts out exactly what the angel had said. Guess what? I was minding my business and an angel appeared and told me, you'll never believe this. You're going to be so excited, Dad. I'm pregnant. And God did it. I know today is a different day, and for most teenagers, giving that announcement, many parents wouldn't even think twice. But I can only imagine that at that moment, her dad must have been shattered, in shock. I'm a father of a daughter, and any dad of a daughter understands this, that there is a very special relationship between father and daughter. And there was a time in our lives and our relationship where my daughter and I were at odds. But I can only imagine how this would have broken her dad's heart. The perfect life, the perfect husband, the perfect future that he had dreamed for his daughter now becomes imperfect. And Mary is trying to explain to her dad, and her dad doesn't know how to respond. He's merely silent. And she just looks at him wondering, Papa, how? Please try to understand. Daughter, I know I haven't written in a while, but the neighbor's little girl brought us a loaf of bread this morning, and it reminded me of something. Do you remember the day you decided to help your mother? Your mother was next door visiting the neighbors when you decided it was dinner time. It's a wonder you didn't burn down the house cooking that bread. I got home just in time to see you covered in flour, pulling a perfectly cooked loaf of bread out of the oven. That wouldn't be the last time you astounded your dear Papa.
Dear Papa, your grandson is taking a nap and my better half is at the shop. He always seems to be at the shop since his skills are in such high demand. But I thought I would take this moment to write. I think of you every day about this time. It's when you always came home for lunch. I remember running at you full tilt when you came through the door, calling out, where's my little girl?
Is quite a good cook, I would tell people. I was always so eager to talk about you, to brag on how smart and hardworking you were. We used to be so close. You were Daddy's little girl for so long. That's why I don't understand how you could let this happen. When I looked toward your future, I had such high hopes
when the messenger came with the letter from home. But no, it was still Mama's name at the end. I've kept every letter you two have ever written me. I wish you would write more and not make Mama do it all. But I guess that's part of what happens when your father is convinced that you've disgraced
our family name has taken quite a hit by what I now think of as your situation. I can barely show my face at the synagogue. I think it would be better if you had at least admitted you had done something wrong. And that husband of yours I refuse to call him my son-in-law. He had us fooled. Seemed like a man with potential, a future. But now he's fallen in line with your ridiculous story.
I can't imagine why. You think I would have lied about this? Don't you think I know how ridiculous it sounds? Of course I do. I don't blame you for having doubts, but to flat out accuse me of lying? I thought you respected me more than that. Of all the childish things I may have done, I never once lied to either you or Mother. I know Mama has her doubts as well, but at least she's doing as I ask and waiting it out.
Why can't you see things through my eyes? I've told your mother that this is the time for tough love. We can't let you get away with these outrageous stories, playing us for fools. If you want to live as an adult, we must hold you to adult standards and not accept this kind of foolishness.
That's what you called it. You looked right in my eyes and called it foolishness. That's what bothers me the most, I think, is that I think
you're fooling yourself. When I looked into your eyes, I didn't see deception, fear, some confusion, something that resembled excitement, but no deception. Have you really convinced yourself that this is really true?
I know it is, no matter who doubts me. I gave birth to the Messiah?
My daughter?
Me.
No, the Messiah would not come in this way.
It was unexpected, but it's thrilling and exciting and amazing.
And nonsensical and ridiculous and unbelievable.
And terrifying.
For you, my daughter, my Mary.
Papa, come visit and look in my eyes again. You have to know that I would not invent a story like this.
If it is true.
It is true, Papa.
If it is true, then nothing is as we expected. Nothing is as we planned.
I can't explain it, Papa. I can't tell you how it will all work out. But
this changes everything.
It does, Papa. The God you have served so faithfully all your life is doing a new thing. And you get a front row seat. I don't want you to miss it.
But if the Messiah is not a conqueror, if that is different, then I have this suspicion that this road will not be an easy one for you or your child.
I know that it won't be easy, Papa, but Joseph is beside me and God is leading us.
Joseph, he really does believe you, doesn't he?
He does, Papa. He has an advantage, though. God sent an angel to him, too.
Is it too much for you to do the same thing for me?
Papa.
Daughter.
Don't miss out. You've prayed all your life for a Messiah. You've taught me to expect the unexpected from the God of our fathers. You've instructed me in the faith of our fathers. All I'm asking is that you look to the heavens and ask for God to give you faith in this plan you weren't expecting. Trust me.
My daughter, the mother of the Messiah. Can it really be true?
Yes, Papa.
Yes, Mary.
We've had plenty of guests since the baby came, shepherds and some very wise men from far away even. I've had lots to ponder, and Joseph has been so wonderful. But, Papa, I want you to see him, our little baby Jesus.
Jesus? You named the baby God Saves.
Yes, Papa. It's the name the angels gave us.
Jesus, my daughter's baby.
Yes, Papa.
Yes. Jesus the Messiah.
Yes, Papa.
So I suppose I must accept that after all the prayers and after all these years.
Papa, we should be celebrating because
God is with us.
With all my love.
And with my newly opened eyes, your Papa.
Your devoted daughter.
Anna, gather your things. We're going to go visit our grandson.
Joseph, you're home just in time. Mama and Papa are coming to visit.
So what kind of Christmas are you facing this year? Got all everything planned, everything set out, all the cooking ready, and everything done, the presents purchased. What kind of Christmas are you facing? Is it going to be a full one with family or an empty one with maybe a couple cards around the tree? Will it be one waiting expectantly and anxiously for a phone call that never comes? What kind of Christmas are you facing? For Mary, for Joseph, even for Mary's parents, it was an imperfect Christmas. But I want you to hear a message that the angels give to Mary and Joseph as an encouragement for you today. When Mary was given the announcement, was minding her own business, and the angel appears, the very first words out of his mouth, do you remember what the angel's very first words were? Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid. Our minds are so often filled with fears and worries. We fear environmental disaster. We fear national security problems. We fear the possibility of an economic recession. We fear the kind of world our children are inheriting. We're concerned for the future. And God's message to us is the same message he gave through the angel. Do not be afraid. But how can things work together? I don't understand. Mary looked to the angel and said, how can this be? Remember what the angel said. Do not be afraid, Mary, because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. When I look at that statement, I often wondered, Lord, am I trusting you enough? And who am I? Mary wondered, who was she? And the angel said, Mary, you who are highly favored. Not that she had any kind of extra dimension with God. But here was a young girl. Just think about it. A young teenage girl from the backwoods of Judea in a small town of Nazareth. How could God use her? Ever felt like that? Ever felt in the busyness of your life that you're just an insignificant number? That no one knows, that no one cares, that no one understands? Don't be afraid. God sees you. Don't be afraid when it seems impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. You may be facing the impossible task of raising a rebellious child. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You may be facing a long road of treatments for cancer, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. You may have lost a loved one and you struggle to break through that vicious circle of despair and depression, but with God, nothing is impossible. You may have a mountain of financial debt and struggles, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. You may have a God-sized vision for our church and wondering, how can it be? Nothing shall be impossible. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Or maybe you're here like Joseph, who had his future all laid out before him. He knew exactly as a carpenter, he had the plans, he had a purpose, he had a reason to move forward, and all of his plans were just thrown like dust on the seashore. And maybe you're like Joseph today, and you don't know what 2020 is going to hold. This decade was hard enough for some of us. What's 2020 going to be like? And you're wondering, Lord, how? And it's just a big black nothing. Lord, how? How are we going to make it through this next year? And you're afraid of the unknown. But the angel appeared to Joseph as he's in the midst of wondering what to do next. And Matthew writes that after Joseph had considered putting Mary away, an angel appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And after Joseph had this experience, notice what he does in verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Don't be afraid. There's nothing impossible with God. And don't be afraid. God has your future in his hands. Don't be afraid. God's going to lead you this year. He's going to provide for you this year. When you don't understand how or why, God is with you. Take this as your promise. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. So what do you fear today? Are you fearing how you're going to make it through another Christmas? Don't be afraid. Nothing's impossible. Are you afraid of stepping out in faith for a future that you cannot see, and it's something you haven't planned? It's something that you can't organize in your comfortable box in your head. God has completely taken your plans and thrown them on your upside down. Don't be afraid. God has a plan and a future. A future not to harm you, but to prosper you. Are you afraid this morning? Welcome to the club. You're facing an imperfect Christmas? Guess what? God's in control. And nothing is impossible with God. I'd like to invite I hadn't asked them to do this, but the very last song that they sang, I'd like the worship team to come back and lead us in that song if they could. Because I really believe that's a prayer. And it's an invitation for some people here this morning. God's asking you in the midst of your busyness this Christmas season, in the midst of your fears, he's inviting you to lay all those fears at his feet. And so that there is room for him to come and give you his strength. I'd like us to stand. And if you're here today and your heart is not filled with joy or peace, but frustration and fear, I'd like you to make this your prayer this morning and trust God to take those fears and to give you his purpose in Jesus' name.